BNCLive.com. Tonight we have a special guest, Paul Cullen, formerly of Bad Company. And he's going to be with us. He's going to be talking about the history of his music career, leading right up to his culinary career. And he is a wine sommelier. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I just learned about that word not very long ago, and I looked it up, and it's a French word. We're going to hear all about Paul's history, starting back from before Bad Company right up to his last dinner that he's cooked for his guests. All right, so we're going to bring on Paul. Hang on, I'll liven up his mic. Paul, good evening.
Al, how you doing?
Good, good. I've been looking at your website, man. I'm starving.
Yeah, sorry. You know, that's, we call that, you know, that's it's an overused term now, but that's, you know, that's food porn. You know, we got to have some good pictures on there and on Facebook, you know, to get everybody to get their mouth watering. So I hope, hopefully it sounded like I did that already.
Oh, absolutely. I've been looking at this website now for the past hour, and I've been looking at all of the dishes that actually rotate. And it looks like some good stuff on there. Plus, it looks like you're slinging some serious wine over there as well. So,
yeah, for sure. The wine part is really cool. Luckily I worked for an Italian wine importer about 5 or 6 years ago, and then since then I've created so many friendships and with winemakers in Italy. So probably 90% of the wines that I use, I've actually been to the vineyard and drank with the winemaker, you know, out of the barrel, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Especially when you come, you know, so I'm drinking a 2008 wine from Italy, and I actually drank it out of the barrel. Now I'm drinking it out of the bottle, you know, so it's a really cool experiences.
Very nice. So let's usually what we do on my show here is we do music history lessons. So we look back at where the musician has actually started in their career, and
right.
and we try to bring it right up to today if we can. We have plenty of time, so
sure.
we don't need to rush. And why don't you give us a little background now, just to let our fans know? You know, you were with Bay Company for a few years in the '90s, their bassist. But before that, tell us before you got into Bay Company, how this whole thing progressed for you.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I guess the best way to go about it is just kind of tell you a little bit about my music career first, and that kind of leads into everything else. But I grew up in the Buffalo area. I was born in Buffalo, downtown Buffalo, and then moved out to the suburbs, you know, as we got, you know, through up to high school. And I was an athlete in school. I played soccer, basketball, and tennis. So pretty much my whole year was covered with playing sports. And then I loved music, went to so many concerts. I think one year we went to 54 concerts. So we were going like once a week, sometimes twice a week. And Buffalo was a great place to see, you know, music performances from. You know, I saw Rush way back when Rush kind of first came out. They came over and they played the Century Theater, which is like a 2,500-seat theater. So anyways, I was really into music. I was the go-to guy. I was like, okay, I want to buy a new 8-track, which, wow, that dates me. And they would ask me, hey, Paul, what's happening now? You know, I had these amazing speakers in my little 72 Pinto. They were called Mind Blowers, and they pretty much did. So anyways, I really loved music. And then because I played sports, I didn't have time to play an instrument, you know. So it wasn't until my parents bought a business down in Florida, and I moved down there right after mm-hmm. high school, that I started kind of dabbling and maybe a little bit of guitar and trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life. And then by chance, I met, who's still a great friend of mine, Stacy Boyd, a fantastic jazz guitar player. And he said, hey, you know, you should play bass because there's no bass players, you know, and there's really no good bass players, or not many, you know. So he turned me on to a guy named Jaco Pastorius, who's still my bass idol. And I think he maybe changed bass, you know, probably for everybody forever. He was a phenomenal player, and I just started playing. I practiced 8 hours a day at 20 years old, and then 6 months later, I was playing in a band. It was a country band, but I didn't care because I was playing and I was making $350 a week. So that's kind of how my music career started out.
That's fabulous. So I'm reading here on your webpage where it says you were actually at a concert a bad company with a couple of your friends, and you actually told your friends that one day you're going to be playing with these guys. Now that,
well,
that
I
is
I was going to be playing. Yeah, I said I was going to be playing up there, and but I didn't know that I was going to be that band. You know what I mean? It just happened to be that night, and in fact, we went to see Kansas open up for Bad Company because I was a big Kansas fan. So, so it's so wild. And then 14 years later, you know, I was playing in the band.
How did that all come about? How did you? Is it like a tryout? There must be some sort of audition, or you have to know somebody. How do you do that?
Yeah, it all worked out. I, you know, like I said, I started playing bass in 1980 as, you know, in Fort Myers, Florida. And then I went all over the country. I mean, I was in, you know, within 2 years, I was in Alaska playing in a rock band, you know. And so I traveled all over, played, you know, pretty much every week for almost like 3 or 4 years straight. And then I ended up back in Fort Myers after kind of touring the country and formed a band called The Boys of Summer with a good friend of mine, Michael Daisy, who actually lives in the area where I live now in Delaware. And we had a really, really good band. You know, we went through several member changes, as you do, to find the right guys. And then our songs were starting to be played on the radio. We had a local radio station that loved our band. And then we would open up for REO Speedwagon or Molly Hatchet or whatever, like the radio station, you know, whatever their concert was. They had the Boys of Summer local guys open up for them, you know. So because of that, you know, our band was really popular, and we were fortunate enough to have Cliff Williams from AC/DC and Brian Johnson from AC/DC lived in Fort Myers. And then also Brian Howe, the singer that was in Bad Company at that time, was living in Fort Myers also. So because our band was so good and we were doing these really cool things, you know, opening up for major acts, they would come out and see our band play all the time, you know. So basically I got in that circle of rock stars that lived in our area, and it ended up me and Cliff from AC/DC became good friends. And, you know, and then we just kind of got in that groove. You know, I got invited to Christmas parties, and Cliff had a studio. We recorded our song Little Black Book in it. And so I got to meet like their friends that would come into town, you know, producers and whoever in the music business, you know, managers and what have you. So I got in that circle, and then when the job came up for Bad Company, you know, Brian, actually Cliff from AC/DC told Brian from Bad Company, hey, you should take him. You know, he's ready to go. He's a good player. He's a good guy. You know, that whole thing. So basically Brian just called me up one day and said, hey, you know, you're auditioning for Bad Company in 2 weeks in London, so get your passport.
Oh, that's really cool. So. You know, today there still seems to be, I don't want to call it a shortage, but there's always bands looking for bass players. Why do you think there is that void there for bass players?
I think it's not as glamorous. You know, everybody wants to play guitar, and, you know, pretty much, you know, unless you're Victor Wooten or somebody like that, you don't really just sit around your room and just play bass guitar. And you know, then for gigs too, you know what I mean? You can't go do a solo acoustic gig if you just play guitar or bass, you know? I don't know. I don't think it's as glamorous. Personally, I love it, and I love listening to it, although I haven't played in probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 years because I've been so focused on guitar and cooking and wine, you know. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think it's not as glamorous, you know, and I think that's, you know, people don't gravitate to that.
It's interesting because it's actually a pivotal instrument, you know, like the drums. It's, you know, the drums is setting the beat, the bass is partially setting the rhythm. So you would think that it's a really good place to be, because you're really not leading the band, but you know, you're keeping them on pace, right, with the bass guitar.
For sure. I think you're the glue that keeps the rhythm together. And then you can play with the melody part of it also. So it's percussive, it's melodic. I love it. I mean, that's the first thing I listen to when I listen to a band is what the bass player is doing. You know, and I was fortunate enough to play in a band like Bad Company because I was more of a jazzy player. You know, not straight ahead jazz, but I rather, you know, listen to Pat Metheny and Weather Report, and that's the kind of stuff I like to play. So Bad Company came up, and Boz Burrell, the original bass player, you know, was the bass player in King Crimson. And he was a really, really musical, jazzy sort of bass player, which really fit into what they were doing, you know, as a group at Bad Company. I mean, so it was a pleasure to come into the band and play his bass lines. In fact, I think one of the the coolest compliments I ever had was after an event. I think we played in front of 16,000 people or so. We were on the bus doing an overnighter, and Simon Kirk looked over to me. We were listening to the board tapes. We used to listen to them every night, if we did an overnighter to the next gig. And he looked at me. He said, "You know what?" He goes, "We just listened to Moving On, off the first album." And he said, "Man," he goes, "I got to say," he goes, "I don't think that bass line has been played any better than I just heard it." And I was like, "Wow, that was cool."
That's a great compliment right there.
Yeah, from somebody like that, for sure. But, it was cool to play, Boz's bass lines because they were just so kind of jazzy and funky, and then it really added to Simon's straight ahead groove. It gave it a little bit of a bounce and a little bit of melodic sense also.
Now you've kind of reinvented yourself, not only with the cooking, but with the Latin jazz string guitar. That's what you're playing now. And how much of your history do you actually have in your playing today? I mean, so are you, when you played bass and then you played music with Bad Company, which, straight up rock and roll, hard driving rock and roll band. Now you're into the jazzy guitar. So how did that slide take place?
Well, I think my mom used to listen to music all the time. She was a big music lover, and like when I was growing up, I remember hearing Jose Feliciano and Sergio Mendez in Brazil 66, and then the Beatles. She was a huge Beatles fan. So, on those record players, where the record would drop, it would play half, play the record, and another record would drop, and it would just constantly play music, and that's the way it would be. It'd be Jose Feliciano, it would be the Beatles' first album, it would be Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass, and Beatles' second album, and then Antonio Carlos Jobim, that Latin jazzy, really just sexy music. And I think because I listened to that so much growing up, that I gravitated to that when I started writing my own songs, which basically in 2006, I put down my bass and started writing my own stuff. And then 2007, which was just 10 years ago last Friday, I was the 10-year anniversary of my first solo CD, which I wrote every song from. So I think because of what I grew up listening to, and I just always had an affection for that style, when I picked up guitar after putting down bass, that's just what it went to. I didn't really make a choice on it. It just, that's what happened.
So you're first CD live in Tuscany. That was, where was that performed and produced? Was that performed in Italy?
That's the latest one. No, that's the latest one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. No, Dream Dance was my first one, and I had played bass on a friend of mine's son's album down in North Carolina near Charlotte, and I met the people at the studio, obviously, because I was there, and I was telling them what I was doing. I wanted to record my own CD, and I sent them some of my, some of the demos that I had, and they loved it, and I loved what they did. So, then they did, they helped me put together and produced and recorded my first CD, Dream Dance.
Okay, was that was all done in the United States?
Yeah, it was all done in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, and then let's start to bring in some of my next favorite subjects: music, food, and I've partaked in my own share of wine in my career. So there's kind of like three of my favorite subjects here. So what gave you this idea of reinventing and bringing all of these three things together, the food, the music, the wine? How did that all come together?
I think it was very organic, which sometimes is the best way to have a business, and when it just kind of happens instead of not forcing it, but saying, "Oh, well, this is going to be a great idea." Like I had my own wine like 6 years ago from California. I tried to make a go at it. It didn't work monetarily. It worked. Everything else worked. But the whole food, wine, and music thing that I do now just happened like 3 years ago. I had friends over for dinner, which I love to do. I love having people. In fact, my friends have been mad at me lately because I've been so busy. I haven't had anybody over for dinner lately. I've been so busy making money cooking in people's houses that I haven't had a chance to do it here at mine. But I had friends over for dinner, and I had like 10 or 12, and they had such a fantastic time. One of the guys said, "Hey, it's my wife's 50th birthday. Next month, would you come over and and do the same thing for us, you know? And I'm like, oh, that, yeah, I can do that, man. I said, how many people? He said, I don't know, like 8 or 10. I'm like, oh yeah, I can rock that. No problem. And then he said, hey, and you know, why don't you bring your guitar and play some music after? I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I could do that. You know, I said, now I'm going to have to charge you, you know, which basically started my career of cooking in people's homes. It was that night that he had me come over. And it was a blast. And, you know, I made fresh pasta for him. I'm pretty sure I made ravioli, butternut squash ravioli for him and his wife. And they were all blown away by the experience. And then I started talking, like we're talking about my history, you know, and then they were getting a kick out of that. And then I was on a roll because I'm an entertainer. So, you know, being in front of 8 people or 10 people was awesome. You know, I took control of the room and had a blast, you know, and then I was on a radio show the next day, and it's a local station down in Ocean City, Maryland. And they asked me what I did last night, and I told them, and they're all looking at me like, what? That's so cool. And then the owner of the radio station, his wife called me like a week later and said, hey, I want you to come to the house and cook for us. So that was like 2013, like December of 2013. So yeah, that's how that whole thing started.
That's interesting. You said something very interesting, and I talk to musicians about this all the time. You put yourself in the role of entertainer. That's what it's really all about, isn't it? The stage presence, you know, the look, not only the music is important, of course, but how you're presenting yourself and how you're getting the audience involved. How long did it take you to, you know, gain that stage presence and the entertainment experience, you know? So you started.
Well, I think.
No, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, no. First, when you first start, of course, you're shy. You don't talk on the mic. You know, you let everybody else do the talking. And then one guy that I played with, he did like a show. He did like impersonations. And the guy, the guitar player that used to do all the talking, you know, before like he came out or, you know, whatever. He's actually known for Rod Stewart. And then, you know, the guy left the band. He goes, well, Paul, you're going to have to do all the talking. I'm like, do all the talking? What? I can't talk on the mic. There's people out there, you know? So he said, here's, you know, can I give you a, you know, you heard it because you've been in the band for a while. So I just went for it. And then I started having a blast with it. In fact, he was like, you know, we got the cane out and was like pulling me away from the microphone because I wouldn't shut up, you know. So I think that was a pivotal moment because I was shy at that point to talk on the mic or in front of people. And then from then on, I haven't had a problem with that at all.
So you were very fortunate when you first joined Bad Company to be in front of large audiences. I couldn't imagine, you know, not being in front of a large audience and then walking out on a stage with Bad Company, you know, 40,000 people. I would think that would be a little bit intimidating if that was, you know, your first walkout. So, for sure. How long did it take to get used to, you know, being in front of that many people?
About 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, because the cool part was that, you know, Bad Company hadn't played in a year or so, and so we were, you know, in Burlington, Vermont, for 10 days doing rehearsals. And, you know what? Everybody was nervous. You know what I mean? So it wasn't me. I did my job and everybody did their job and we had a good time. And then, you know, within a matter of, you know, another gig or two, we were all starting to get comfortable. And then after 50 gigs, then we were starting to rock, you know? So those guys were nervous too. So I didn't feel so bad, you know? And, you know, I'd been playing for 10 years, which, you know, the grand scheme of things is not a long time, but I played in front of a lot of people over that period of time, you know? They were nervous. I was a little nervous. And then, you know, a few minutes later we were rocking, you know, 6,000 people in Burlington, Vermont.
I know people ask me all the time, are you nervous when you're going to interview this guy? Are you nervous when you're going to interview that guy? Well, you know, I you get butterflies in the beginning, you know, of the show. But sure. that wears off pretty quickly. And after 300 interviews, I mean, it's, you know, no matter really who you're interviewing, they're just talented people, just like the interview before. And they're regular people too.
No doubt. And you know, what's funny now is I'm more nervous when I meet like rock star chefs than I was like meeting David Gilmour from Pink Floyd, although I was probably pretty nervous that night, but I can equate that because, you know, I have a good friend now. He's a James Beard winning chef from Philadelphia, Jeff Michaud. And he's been cool. He's reached out to me. I've actually cooked at his restaurant with him, and we've done an event down here. But then I met, you know, another rock star chef the other night from New Orleans, Dickie Brennan. And I know all about these guys, but they think that I'm cool because of what I used to do and what I do now, you know. So it's really neat. You know, I think that's a cool feeling when you feel, you know, honored to meet somebody or a little nervous to talk to somebody. I think that's cool. And it humbles you, and I think they feel that in most cases anyways.
Absolutely. Yeah. Humility here, I believe, is really the key to having success, especially when you're expanding on your career, you know, from musician
right.
to you're a certified sommelier. I had to look that up, what that was.
Yeah.
A wine steward. I never heard that word.
Yep. So I just passed my level two. I just got the email 2 days ago. So now I'm a level two sommelier, which basically what that means is that I drink a lot of wine. And
okay.
And then I have a certificate to say I drink a lot of wine, you know. So but it's a great thing. You know what I call this all? This is all continuing adult education. You know, I just turned 57 in January. I learn every day, and it's invigorating. You know, for so long I was kind of like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, after Bad Company, it was really difficult to find that same high that I used to get from there, not from the drugs necessarily, being in Bad Company. And it took me a while to do that. And now I'm in a position where, God, I'm having so much fun and I'm learning all the time. And, you know, I'm a level two sommelier now, which I would have never thought 5 years ago I'd even be a level one, you know. And I'm looking at going to school in Italy in January to this Italian Culinary Institute to learn more stuff and, you know, working on a new CD. So, you know, just try to keep learning stuff. And, you know, I can't, like, wait to pick up my guitar because it's such a new instrument for me, even though it's 10 years, you know, that I love playing, I love writing, I love learning. And that's the same with food and wine, both.
So you're from the Rehoboth Beach area in Delaware, is that right?
That's where I live now. Yeah, I've been here
okay.
for 16 years. Yeah, I came here on vacation. It was just 16 years ago last week, actually, and fell in love with the area. I don't know. Have you been down this way?
As a youngster, I used to go to Delaware beaches, and I remember them really being beautiful. I live on the Jersey Shore, and they have nice beaches here too. But I remember Delaware beaches being really nice, and really not that far. Do you play locally in the area?
I don't play out anymore. I'm so busy. The only time I do is I opened up for Hart last summer. We have a local venue called the Freeman Stage, and they bring in, you know, Hart and Hall and Oates and, you know, Pat Benatar, people along those lines. And I know them there because they know me from living here. So they asked me to open up for Hart last year. So I did. And it was pretty cool because it was just me acoustically, which is, you know, could be intimidating for most people, but I actually took it as a challenge, which was a lot of fun. But no, I don't play out very often unless it's a local concert venue. We have one in Wilmington called World Cafe, and I did a concert there about 3 months ago with some friends of mine. So, I don't really play out. You know, I did that for a living, you know, since I started playing guitar, you know, 10 years ago. But now, you know, monetarily, geez, man, I'd have to work six, you know, local restaurants, six events to make what I make in one night doing what I do now, you know, so it doesn't even make any sense for me to do it, because I've not that I haven't played bars and restaurants, you know, since 1980. Oh my God. I can't even tell you how many I've done, you know.
Let's talk about the pasta fagioli and the artichokes. That's just coming up on the screen right now. Tell me about the recipes and what you're cooking for
folks.
Well, that's
cool.
When you...
Those are great. Those are two staples of my Italian background. So yeah, Cullen is Irish, but Taliaferro is my Italian side, which is my mom and my grandmom. And I'm the oldest of 20 grandchildren. So I was in the kitchen when I was 10 years old, and I was making ravioli with my grandmother and my mom, and my friends were playing baseball. And so hence I'm not good at baseball, but I'm really good at making ravioli. But you know, it was all about family, and we used to hang out together and cook together. Every Thanksgiving we made 100 raviolis together, you know. It was fun. So pasta fagioli, it was one of my favorite soups to have. And then, of course, my mom made it all the time. And so that's one of my favorite things to make, you know, because it really brings back – when I taste that, I think of my childhood, you know, with my mom and my grandmother. And that artichoke is just something my over-the-road truck driver while I was a kid, and we'd watch movies, and my mom would roast an artichoke, you know, and we'd sit there, and she'd put it on the TV table. That tells you how long ago that was. And we'd be watching, you know, a cool movie, and we'd be eating artichokes. And that lupini beans, I don't know if you ever had a lupini bean. They're the yellow beans with the skin on them. And,
yep.
You know, that's little stuff like that. And I use lupini beans at my events all the time, and people are like, what are these? These are so cool. And I got to show them how to pop it out of the skin, you know, with their teeth and pinching it, you know. And
yeah.
So it's fun, you know. So, yeah, so those two recipes are special because those are definitely childhood memories for me.
You know, it's interesting you should say that because throughout my life, as, you know, I've gotten involved with different people and I would sit down and eat with them, and especially, you know, Italian cooks, it would remind me exactly what you said. Wow, this reminds me of sitting down at my grandmother's table, eating her food.
A
strong food is a strong, you know, remembrance of past things you've done in your life. It's quite amazing.
Sure, because it's all about taste and smell. Taste and smell also. You know, you smell something, you go, wow, that reminds me of something I did a long time ago or food that we used to eat as a kid or something like that. And, you know, I find one of the coolest things about what I do is that, you know, my grandmother sadly died in 1973 when I was 13. So I only had a few years with her. In fact, most of my cousins, my 20 cousins that I have, which I'm the oldest, they didn't really even know her, you know. And the cool part now is I talk about her all the time. You see her name all the time, you know, Grandma Tagliaferro, you know. And, you know, that's really neat. And talking about my mom who passed about 6 years ago, you know, it's really neat that I get to talk about them and sort of their legacy when it comes to food and the passion I learned from them. That's why I do what I do, is because they were passionate about what they did, you know, which pretty much comes with Italian families, you know. But fortunately, I was, you know, I was able to live it, enjoy it, and now I get to talk about it.
And cook.
And cook.
And serve this exquisite food to people. I'm telling you, I'm looking at your dishes here, and it's like, man, I could taste this. I'm looking at this dish here with an egg.
that's my salad on top of this. My salad with pancetta, and crispy pancetta, and a fried egg on top of it.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I was also looking, you know, I was really through your website here, paulcullen.net, and I was looking at some of the videos. You were speaking about how you were doing the one of your gatherings and cooking the dinner. And actually, it sounded like you actually cleaned the kitchen after you're done. Is that the way it works? I mean,
because I can go from anywhere from, you know, four people, you know, or to 44 people. So after 10 people, I have an assistant, and it's usually somebody that can help me in the kitchen, help me serve, help me clean. But like last night, I did six people by myself, and it's actually more fun because I'm totally in control of the whole thing. And that's good for me because then I know that everything's being done the way I like it done, you know. So, but then I've done, you know, 60 people, and I brought five people with me. I had a caviar person. I had somebody, you know, making pasta, you know. So it's fun. Every sort of event I do can be just a little bit different depending on how many people. But I truly enjoy being the guy, like last night, you know, six people. It was fantastic.
So you're actually going into people's homes. So you're making arrangements to go into people's homes. You bring the music, you bring yourself and possibly sometimes a violin player with you. And then you send the people out to get the wine that goes with the meal. So they go to their local wine store and you
right.
tell them what you're cooking so they can match the wine to it. That's how it works, right?
And what I'll do is I'll bring samples too. You know, of my friends' wines, you know, so they can have a chance to do whatever they buy, and then they can to taste the ones that I bring too, the ones that I know personally. So, yeah, it's basically that. They call me, and a lot of times I do like surprise birthday parties or anniversaries or just people, foodies that want to get together. And they'll book me to cook for like 16 people on a Saturday night. I bring all the food, I bring some of the wine, and then I bring my guitar, and then sometimes we have somebody sit in with me, you know, and it's the full event. It's like a 3-hour event from the time that the guests get there till the time I'm done strumming my last chord.
So are you actually entertaining them while some of the food is cooking, especially like if you have help with you? How's that work?
Yeah, no, I don't entertain other than talk about, you know, my storied past. And that's, people always, you know, they gravitate to the kitchen. So I kind of stay in there. I want them to see me doing what I do in the kitchen. And then they ask me questions and they start eating stuff. And if you're smart enough, you hang out with me from when you get to the party, because I'll be feeding you stuff while I'm preparing. You know, like, hey, try this fennel salami. This is awesome. Or this quadrella cheese from Northern Italy or whatever. So the smart people are the ones that hang out in the kitchen with me from when the party starts until they sit down to start eating.
It's funny that you said that about you're feeding people stuff as you're cooking, because I remember now, as you said that, now my grandmother, I remember bringing, you know, being like 8, 9, 10 years old and bringing over my friends to the house. And my grandmother would be cooking down in the basement. She had a basement mm-hmm. kitchen. It was a lot cooler down there. They at that time we didn't have air conditioning in the house.
Sure.
And she'd be cooking down there, and we'd be sitting at this big gigantic table that my grandfather made, and she'd be feeding us a little piece of this and a little piece of that. My friend says to me, "Why do you only get such little portions?" I said, "Because this isn't the meal. This is just leading up.
Right.
This is just leading up to the meal." It's amazing.
That's funny, because that's exactly what I do. I call it antipasti hour, you know, and it's crostinis. I do a Tuscan bean. I do a chicken liver pate from a recipe I learned in Tuscany, and I do grilled artichoke and arugula, and I have that plus kinds of swines and cheeses and olives and pepper shooters. You know, those are those cherry peppers with the prosciutto and the sharp provolone in them.
Yep.
And a lot of times they're already full by the end, but I can't help it. I gotta lay all this out, because I think that's the most fun of the whole night for me, food wise, is that first hour where I get to chat with them and I pour this really cool Lambrusco, which, you know, if we remember Lambrusco way back, it was Riuniti, which was sweet and horrible. I bring in my friend's Lambrusco, which are dry, fizzy, cold red wines that people freak out about. You know, I probably upped the Lambrusco sales in the Mid-Atlantic by 900% just because I use it all the time and turn people onto it. So it's kind of like my time to get to meet people and talk to them, and they get to have a bite and a sip and learn about, you know, lupini beans, and, you know, Emilia Romagna is famous for prosciutto and Parmesan and Lambrusco and that sort of stuff. So it's really fun, and that sets the tone for the rest of the night.
Absolutely. Let's talk about vacation with Paul. So you run trips. I'm looking at your vacation trips here. Give us a little bit of background on that.
Well, about 4 years ago, I was approached by a local travel agent, and she had heard about my culinary, you know, things that I had going on, and of course my music and wine, and so she contacted me and said, "Hey, you know, you should host a cruise." I'm like, "Really, me?" I'm thinking, you know, they're just starting this whole thing. I'm like, why would people go with me? You know, and then she said, "No, really, I've got people that host cruises. You bring 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 people with you. And we'll set the whole thing up for you. All you got to do is be there. And we'll learn together, you know, how to do this whole thing." So we started, our first cruise was in 2014. Yep. And we did Rome to Lisbon, Portugal, and on Oceania Cruise Lines, which is like the best of the best of cruise lines. I mean, the food is just spectacular. And we brought 20 people with us and had a blast, including stops in like Marseille, France, and Monte Carlo and Barcelona. I mean, I'm on the ship going, I'm actually hosting this. This is bizarre, you know, in a really cool way, you know. I mean, I just was like, just thinking like, wow, people actually like hanging out with me. so we did it. That went so well. We did one the next year, which ended up being Barcelona to Rome. And then last year we did Venice to Rome. And we had a rock star chef, Jacques Pepin, on that ship because he oversees the restaurants. Jacques, if you don't remember him, was the chef that Julia Child used to hang out with and do TV shows with. And that's become really popular. We did 30 people last year, Venice to Rome. And, you know, and for us, it's great. We get to go for free. We make a little bit of money, you know, and just have a great time. And the cool part is that, you know, we're creating like a network of people that now know each other and are really good friends that didn't know each other before that. You know, it's so cool for me to be watching Facebook and seeing people comment on each other's posts just in everyday life that didn't know each other until they went on our cruise, you know, and the cruises are just full of fun stuff. I mean, the second cruise we did, I hooked people up and we did excursions to my friend's vineyards, which were non-touristy, just like rustic, authentic wineries. Now, one was 100 years old, you know, and they're looking at me like I'm God. You're like, oh my God, we would have never experienced this stuff if we didn't come on this cruise, you know? So that part's been a blast. And of course, we're really looking forward to October 4th when we leave for Tuscany. We have we rented a villa in Tuscany with me and Annette from our travel agency, the one that owns it. So we're taking 24 people with us to Tuscany, and every day we're doing an excursion to a cool place, whether it's Bologna or Florence or Lucca, and then we're going to wineries. And I have master Italian sommeliers coming to our villa to do wine tastings, and I have musicians coming to jam with me at the villas and at the villa. So this is going to be epic. That's the only word I can say on this one. Our other stuff has been amazing, but epic is the Tuscany trip.
And that one sold out, actually.
Yeah, sold out after like 2 months in, it sold out. And it's not cheap either.
And then you have the Tall Ship cruise coming up in 2018. Where's that going to be?
That is in St. Martin. So I'm
I've been
really
there.
Excited about
I've
this
been there. That's cool there.
Yeah. It's cool there. I've been there on another cruise. So this cruise is cool because it goes to the little island. So it's only 150 people on the ship. And we've already got at least 45 people going with us already. They've already signed up. So we could actually have almost half the ship by the time we're done. And we go in March. So that's really cool. I'm the featured artist on the ship. And all I have to do is play a little music here and there, which I'm totally cool with because – you know, for me to do something like that, a vacation would be fantastic for me just to kind of lay around a little bit because normally my vacations, as we just talked about, I'm really busy, even though it's awesome. You know, so I'm really looking forward to St. Martin just to relax. We're going 4 days early and just lay on the beach for 4 days, and then we hit the cruise, and it should be a lot of fun. In fact, the people I cooked for last night have been on that cruise line and have done the same cruise that we're doing. And it's cool. It's a tall sailing ship. It has 4 masts, and when the weather is right, it sails. When it's not, they use the engine. So it actually is a true sailing ship.
Yeah, the weather in St. Martin is like 75 degrees every day of the year. And a lot of times it's phenomenal. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the airport there on the Dutch side is basically right there on the beach, more or less, and you can actually almost touch the airplanes landing.
I've seen pictures
amazing.
Of that when they're taken off, it kind of blows people back off their chairs.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the planes are literally 100 feet off the ground landing, and you're on the beach sitting there, and you don't know whether to look at the ladies suntanning naked or the planes coming in. So it's a great place to be. How about the Thanksgiving Day parade? You're doing something in 2017.
I know what the heck. Yeah, we just, you know, we had Thanksgiving last year, and I cook all the time for Thanksgiving. My wife's like, you know, I've never been to the parade. I said, well, let's talk to Annette and see if she'll put a package together for us, and you know, go to New York and go to the city and stay. We're staying at the Sofitel Hotel, which is an awesome hotel, and we got Thanksgiving dinner together. We're going to the Macy's Day Parade. They're taking us up there and picking us up in a bus from Delaware. So it's like a, you know, full package, 2 days of fun. And, you know, it's one of those, it's sort of like the bucket list thing, you know. And what the reason we're doing is that we've talked to our friends and they're like, oh, we're in. We're totally in. I'm like, well, what about your family? They're like, hell with my family. We're going with you guys. You know? So I know. It's crazy.
That's fantastic.
But, yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
So I see you have a couple of local things going on. You have the Sunset Music Cruise on the Cape Water Taxi. That's coming up, 7/17.
Yeah, week from today. Yeah, it's cool. My friend Dave Green owns the Water Taxi, and he does the music cruises on Mondays, which are perfect for me. So we have we have like four musicians that rotate, and it's fun. You know, Lewis, Delaware is beautiful. You know, it's the first town in the first state, so it has some definite history to it. And we go out to the lighthouse out there, and which he just got a deal with them. We're going to start doing some events right at the lighthouse, including one of my cooking events. So we're going to work on that for later summer, early fall. But, yeah, it's one of my few music gigs that I have, you know, like we were talking about before, I don't play out very often. But this is the one that I'll do because people come on, and it's BYOB, bring whatever you want. And I play music, and we go out there and watch this amazing sunset, you know, in the Delaware Bay.
This is a great inexpensive way to get to know you. It's only $30 for tickets.
Oh,
I know. On that cruise.
Again, it's people, they all go, and they sit together. They don't know each other. By the time they leave, they're all hugging and passing their cards, and they all keep in touch. You know, it's fun, a lot of fun.
And then here's a neat one on 9/2. You have the Milton Theater, A Wonderful Evening. That's so cool.
I like that. Yeah, that's one of my things I came up with. Yeah, because I used to say, hey, have a wonderful birthday. But yeah, it's a cool old theater from the 1915. That Fred, the owner, has brought back to life over the last couple of years. And he asked me to do a concert, which I'll bring in a violinist and a percussionist. And then we're going to do the VIP party, as you see. So you pay $15 more and you get, you know, some of that antipasti that I was talking about and some really cool wines to taste. And then you sit down and we, you know, rock it for, you know, an hour and a half playing, you know, some of my stuff. And then I'll throw in, you know, a Bad Company song or two.
Do you have a lot of people requesting some of the Bad Company tunes when you're out there?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, that's what I'm kind of known for, you know, and that's cool. Totally cool. And because I do my own versions of it, you know, on Live in Tuscany, you know, I do Bad Company on there, you know, and I have my own sort of thing. It's really fun because the violinist from Italy that plays on it, he had heard the song before. So he was really having a lot of fun with it, you know, because it was in such a different groove, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be fun. That theater is great. We've been wanting to do something there for a while, so we finally got a date that worked for both of us.
Okay, so people need to go to paulcullen.net, and they'll be able to see everything that we've been talking about here. Now I want to switch over to your Facebook page, and I'm looking at a page that is reviews. Now, it looks like you have only 48 reviews here. And the interesting thing is every one of them is 5.0 out of five stars. I mean, that's phenomenal. And you could just go down the list. So you're putting on a evening to remember, that's for sure. If you don't mind, I'll just read a couple of things here. Is that okay?
Ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, for sure.
And here, I won't tell anybody's name, but this looks like one of the latest ones. What a wonderful evening. So glad we decided to do this. From pasta making to personalized jazz concert. Everything was amazing. And another one, we hosted a dinner party with Paul for the entire evening was perfect. Starting off with my husband and I getting to know Paul, just like you said. Just like you said,
yep.
What happens. Wonderful. Mushrooms, risotto, dinner. Oh, my goodness. Get more hungry now.
Sure.
We hosted a group of 16. And this just goes on and on and on. 48 different ones. All 5.0 rating out of 5. So
yeah,
you can't get any better than that, Paul. Maybe
no,
we need
no
to
doubt.
Make another rating scale for you. Maybe we need to boost it up to 6.0.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. You know, and it's cool too because I'm blown away with and stuff that like me out. It's so just so good.
We're kind of losing you a little bit, Paul. You're kind of cutting out. Are you on like a portable phone? You may want to get closer to the receiver.
How about now?
Okay? That's a little better. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
So why don't you repeat what you said in the last?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you repeat
what you
said in the last minute or so?
Sure. You know, I'll get letters and cards also. You know, people sometimes they don't do a review. Maybe they don't. They're shy about that or whatever. You know, I mean, you know, here's one, you know, that I put on Facebook on my regular page. Said, thank you for a divine evening. The food was superb. The music was phenomenal. The wines were amazing. And the educational component was very much appreciated. The service was impeccable, and it was a sweetly memorable experience, you know, the one that we'll never forget. So, you know, I get something like that in the mail, and, I'm like, wow, man, I can't believe I'm touching people like that. It's just, yeah, it makes me feel so good that I'm doing the right thing, you know.
Absolutely. No doubt. I was looking at some of the videos that you put up there, and at the end of one of your engagements, you said you got into your car, and it's basically like you had to just take a deep breath and go, wow, that was so cool. So
yeah,
you know, not only you're actually entertaining yourself as you're entertaining everyone else.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's true. Like, you know, when I get to the party, they're super excited. I mean, I have one lady, Renee, in Philadelphia. She almost tackled me in the driveway. She's like, he's here. And I'm looking around going, who's here? Oh, it's me. but you know, that was such a magical night. You know, our daughters, you know, as we found out, our daughters are kind of going through the same problems in life, and she lost a daughter, and I just, you know, whipped up food with her, you know, for her and her husband and eight guests. And God, I walked out of there, I almost had tears in my eyes when I left, because it was such a great experience for me too. You know what I mean? They were blown away. Right. But I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I'm still blown away that I actually do this for a living, you know? And, I mean, when you do, you know, I just finished 14 events in 19 days. So yeah, I was a little tired last night, but I was still smiling, tiredly smiling. but you know, it's just such a cool thing that makes me feel so good that I get to touch people. That's part of my Italian side too, right? You know, we want to make people happy through their belly, you know. And I have
that's a good place. It's a good place to start.
No doubt. You make them happy through there. You know, I touch all their senses, and I look at it that way, right? You know, the smell when they first come in, and they smell that Italian sausage that my friend makes me, you know, and they smell that, and then they see what I'm doing, and then they get to taste it, and then they get to hear what I say, and then they get to hear what I play, you know? So it all kind of just all works together, and it covers all your senses.
So let's talk a little bit about your music that you're writing now, and then how people can get that.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, 2006, 2005. I was kind of teetering on what to do, right? You know, and I said, you know, I've got some songs I've kind of been working on. You know, why don't you know? And I went and I went down to the studio, like I said, in Charlotte, and then it all started to happen. And you know, I finished up the songs that I've been writing, and then wrote a couple new ones. I mean, I only had 10 songs to pick from, so that's why there's 10 on my first CD. It's not like I had, you know, like sometimes, you know, musicians or writers will have like, oh, we have 20 songs to pick from, you know, and I'm like, I had 10, so we better make these good, you know. So it was an awesome experience, you know, for me to have my own music. I do go back and listen and go, damn, I wish I would have been a little bit better at that or that, because, you know, you're always doing that as a musician, you know, but totally proud of what happened, you know, and then, you know, a year and a half later, I was working on my next one and then my next one, and, you know, and now, you know, I have five, you know, and the latest one was Live in Tuscany, and that was such a great experience. A good friend of mine, who sadly passed away a couple years ago, owns 10 restaurants down in this area. And he turned me on to this winemaker, Manfredo, and from the southern part of Tuscany. And we met here in Rehoboth, and then I visited his place several times in Tuscany because he invited me to come, you know. So we were on our cruise, and I found this violinist through them that I said, hey, you know, why don't you come and jam with me? And I just brought my MacBook Pro and a really good mic, and I just pressed record. And it was so magical that we put it on a CD. And there's no overdubs. And the only thing is he compressed it a little bit just to make it more even, because we weren't even on two tracks. It was all one track, you know. And that was one of my most magical experiences music wise was to do that with him. And he had never heard my songs before, you know, and played amazingly good.
Now when you play, some of these songs were played in Tuscany with Italian musicians. Was that
that was just him, yeah, me and Alessandro Galini, just the two of us. And that was live in Tuscany. It was a concert. I mean, I recorded the whole thing from the front to the end. And, then it was, like I said, no overdubs at all. I think we cut one section out just because it was a little bit too long. But other than that, we couldn't overdub because we didn't have any tracks going. There was one USB mic, the Yeti microphones, which are by Blue. And I just put that in the middle of the room and press record on my MacBook Pro. I use Logic Pro. And then that was it, you know. It was just an amazing experience. Magical is probably the best way to put it.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay. Why don't we'll close it up in a few minutes, but what I'd like you to do is tell folks how they can get in touch with you from not only the music, but for the dining experience and the cruises. So why don't you give us an education on that, and then we'll say good evening to you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, my website, you know, paulcullen.net, paulcullen.net is always the best way to see whatever I'm doing. Of course, I'm pretty well versed in Facebook. I do Facebook Live a lot, which is whenever I do an
I saw one of those
event.
about a week ago. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't watch the rest of it because I had a show coming on. So I listened as I could. Those folks are having a great time.
Oh, it was a blast. So I do Facebook Live a lot, and so basically everything that I do is on my website. I build my own website, so you know I get to tailor it to whatever I think I need to tailor it to. So, you know that, and you know Facebook is good. I'm on Instagram also, Twitter a little bit, but not as much. Facebook really rules for what I do, you know, and I get so many gigs from that, or so many events from people seeing me on Facebook and people talking about me on Facebook, you know. And, my music is on, you just go on and listen, the listen tab on my website, and it has all my songs on there. You can download, some of them are downloads for free. You know, and in fact, I don't know do you put a link up on your website of this,
yes,
the show we're doing?
There'll be a link to this whole show.
Cool.
There'll also be a link on my pages for, you know, directly to your pages.
Well, cool. What I'll do is after we're done, I'll send you a link to Live in Tuscany, and everybody can download that. I have a download for free for that, you know, but I have it hidden I just have that for guests and my friends and clients. So I'll send you a link for that for all your, all the people that are listening tonight too. They can download Live in Tuscany for free.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No worries.
So Paul, this has been great. Thank you for contacting me. You know, you actually contacted me a while ago, and I actually found the contact. I think it was on Twitter, and it was actually a year and a half old. I said, man, I didn't get back to this guy. Let me get back to this guy. Then I started looking at your stuff, and I said, wow, this is going to be a great interview.
Thanks for reaching out. I you know, those things come across sometimes, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'd love to do something like that. You know, and then I didn't press it because I probably forgot, just because I'm already off to doing the next thing because – you know, doing what I do, you know, it's pretty time consuming. You know, I'm the guy who sends out the invoices. I answer all the questions. I prep all the food. I buy all the wine. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a one-man team right now. In fact, that's the next level, is to find somebody to be like my assistant so I can start freeing up some time to do more stuff and then, you know, book more events also.
There you go. Well, it sounds like you're on the right track, and you're having a great time doing it. You can't ask for more than that, Paul.
I am. No, man, I can't. Yeah. I'm so blessed to be where I am in life, man. I fortunate to be get to do what I've done and to be where I am today. No doubt about it.
Okay, Paul. Keep in touch with us.
Cool,
We'll follow your progress and keep cooking up them great dishes and music too. All right.
Hey, have me come
All
up.
Right.
You know, I drive up to town. I'll drive up to Tom's River. Get a gang together. I'll come cook for you.
Okay. Give us.
Yeah,
tell you what, we'll get together. I mean, we're gonna have to get together because you're making me hungry here, Paul.
All right. Cool.
All right. Thank you.
Bye,
All right.
Thanks, man. Cheers.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right. This is Al Fink. You've been listening to BNC Live. Our special guest was Paul Cullen. former member of Bad Company. He's off on his own since 2007, putting together great music and cooking some great food. You got to check out his website, paulcullen.net. Find him on Facebook, and you won't be sorry. He's got a whole bunch of cruises coming up. It's got some great music, got some great Latin guitar, jazz. If you're into that kind of music, this is the music to get. All right, we're going to call it a wrap for tonight. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everybody listening. This is Al Fink, bnclive.com. Check out our website, livemusiconmainstreet.com. And we'll be back next Monday live. By morning, you'll be able to hear this interview in full, along with all of our other 60 or 70 interviews that I already have published. We're still putting up our archives from 2015 and 16. There's 300 plus of them, and it takes a little time to edit them and to get them up there for you. But keep checking back. Livemusiconmainstreet.com or bnclive.com, bring you the same place. All right, so time to pull the plug. We'll see you next time. Come on back next Monday. Who do we have on next Monday? Let me see here. Next Monday, we have on the 17th. Hey, we have a singer-songwriter. Two interviews with singer-songwriters. Young man named Yoshi Gersh. I met Yoshi through Facebook 2 years ago. He was playing locally here in New Jersey. And we started talking then, and now he's out on the West Coast. So he's going to tell us his progression. He actually called into one of our shows and we got him on the air, and then he's going to be back on 7:17 at 8 p.m. And then we have a very talented singer-songwriter, Monique Kinnear. Monique plays in several different venues, several different musical groups, and solo artist as well. So she plays with my friend Bill Martin of Acoustic Martin and Company, also an accomplished violinist and pianist, great singer. She has her own CD called Preaching to the Choir. Absolutely fabulous. So they'll be with us next Monday night. She'll be with us at 9 p.m. and Yoshi will be with us at 8. Until then, you know, check out our archives on bnclive.com, or that's the easiest one to remember, or livemusiconmainstreet.com. Get out and see some local live music. Get out there. Don't drink and drive. Until next Monday, self-think. All right. Be safe. Bye-bye.